Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. I hope we're still relevant in what you see going on, what is about to happen, and what we need to do to stop the next shoe from dropping. I hope that we maintain that relevance because it's really simple. It really is about maintaining focus on one thing and one thing alone. You can worry about every edge issue out there. We'll call it the fringe. Out at the fringe where, you know, the attacks are coming because our battleground is getting smaller and smaller. There are all around us. We are surrounded, and they are coming at us in every direction. If you want to look at it as a sphere, they're coming up from our feet, they're coming from on high, and they're coming from all sides. Why are we still allowing this to happen when really, you know, it's almost as simple as you putting the ruby slippers on and clicking your heel three times? Almost as simple. It's just a matter of getting the states to make the choice, your state legislators. And actually, you need to actually do things on the ground. This is why you can't just accept the fact that the rhinos are the problem. You have to get rid of the rhinos. If you have a state that absolutely wants limited government, then you have to get rid of the rhinos. You have to get rid of the communists that have infiltrated the Republican ranks. I have been told, I had a conversation with, I forget the gal. There's a gal in Okanagan, which is a dark red county, and they are flabbergasted with the fact that they have two communists as their county commissioners. Flabbergasted. How did that happen? Well, when they came up and primaried out the person, they just made a bunch of comments like they were, you know, a proven commodity or something. In other words, they didn't have a very good vetting process. They had no true look at, you know, at the background of these people. This goes down to the importance of having LexisNexis to be able to do the research on people to find out who they're affiliated with, you know, their bankruptcies, you know, any type of arrest, what have you, so that you can call them out and challenge them. Now, whether you would have found something on that, that's maybe, you know, another problem, but you have to start actually taking proactive measures. And every term, every year, there needs to be a flexing of the Constitution regarding your county commissioners, that your county commissioners are going up to the state house and going throughout the state government demanding that they start complying, start enforcing the Constitution and that type of stuff. If they're not, and they're up there making deals and, you know, bringing back pet projects from the federal government that is growing federal government overreach in your county, are you kidding me? How is that helping your liberty? How is that helping you? How is that helping us? How is that securing liberty for our future? It is not. And these people that are obtaining this, you know, these hooks, these lines, and making these connections of big government at the local level, you're doomed unless you start doing something about it. So that's why we're going through what it takes to move your county to becoming a constitutional county. And that's why it's so important to go through the roles. And for the most part, we kind of have done that. I don't think that we at a high level, I think we covered everything. And so there's some other stuff that I still want to go through. But it just makes my blood boil to know that there are so many people that do not want what's going on around them. And they are either frozen in, you know, space and time because either they are scared, which I really doubt. Most people just don't know what to do. Now, they may be a little scared that if they do something might happen, but you don't necessarily have to put yourself and your family, your property, your life in danger by actually as expecting people and getting other people to start working with you and creating a movement. It's just about that. It's literally a movement of demanding compliance to the Constitution. I can't imagine how what would be more simple. Anyway, as you know, the show is sponsored by republicreview.org, and you're listening to the only show that is going to go through the academic evidence and the academic evidence-based solutions. I highly recommend. I had a great conversation with Keith Broders this weekend. We need to connect. You need to hear the stuff that Keith has talked about. You need to hear it from Keith himself so that you know and understand, you know, what's going on and why is it that we're going down the wrong path in almost every direction. Almost every direction. Anyway, so go to constitutioneducation.us. This is where you get your free Constitution classes, but it's constitutioneducation.us, just as it's spelled, constitutioneducation.us. Timber Nation, these guys are pumping out. As a matter of fact, I got a chance to see something that they're doing for me, and it's just awesome. When you're getting hard wood, real hardwood that, you know, it's not painted. It's just, I don't know. I know there's some people that like the simplicity of paint and, you know, antiquing or whatever that they do to the finish of furniture or what have you. But I like the looks of wood. It's just natural and it's beautiful, especially the depth of the grain and so forth. Certain woods just have some really beautiful features to them. Go check out TimberNation.com. They have this, what they call, I think it's tiger-striped maple, that has this effect that when you look at the grain causes this tiger-striping effect on top of it, almost like a three-dimensional tiger-striping. It's really beautiful. Go check it out. And if you're looking for quality, just look at the stuff that they built. Look at where they're bragging. And as a matter of fact, the Absolute Sound on their audio racks and so forth, they actually gave them a big, huge accolades and a recommendation and so forth. So it's not just me. There are plenty of people that are saying Timber Nation is doing a great job. Anywho, RadioDustCovers.com. All three of these, as well as Ad Local 4, are endorsements and or promotions that I do without anything coming back. I know that this Timber Nation is a struggling family. They've had nothing but problems with the new taxes, new reporting, and everything else. And so, you know, it's hard to run a small business. And so here you go. You've got a patriotic group, a family that is just trying to make a living for themselves. I respect that. And I respect what they're doing, and I respect where they stand, and I respect their products. They do great work. Same thing with Radio Desk Covers. Same thing with the Constitution Education with Keith Broders. The same thing with Ad Local. Now, Red Pill Expo is coming up. You've got, 2 weeks maybe? Actually, you've got less than 2 weeks, because as of this weekend, you've got 1 week to get there. And I know there's lots of people that, you know, getting the airline flights this short or what have you is hard. If you can't make it, you're going to want to at least stream this event. You've got to actually start pulling in this content and data. If you want to understand what is going on with Red Pill Expo, with the kind of content and data, just go to, this is what I read for my marketing, is Need to Know News. Go read and look at Need to Know News, and you'll start seeing, you know, the types of things and the type of people that they're going to have presenting information, answering questions, and so forth. Now, I myself have, you know, you hear me complain about, you know, different entertainers and conservative entertainers and so forth. And when I have to get out to, you know, drive in the car, you know, just instead of listening to music, I at least listen to things that are going on. And it kind of helps. Yeah, actually, sometimes I do just listen to music, classical music or what have you. But 9 times out of 10, I will probably listen to something that's going to infuriate me to make me listen to music. When I hear a conservative entertainer talking and complaining, and this happens all the time, whether it's Tucker Carlson, whether it's Sean Hannity, whether it's Mark Levin, or whether it is Charlie Kirk, You know, I know there are a lot of people that try to talk about the Constitution. Oh, by the way, the MC for Red Pill Expo is Mike Church. And I don't know if you have ever heard of Mike Church. Mike Church was one of those few people that really helped me start looking at him. Mike Church and what was the other guy's name? Jerry Doyle. Both of these conservative entertainers were doing something completely different. They were looking at things. They were trying to look at the big picture, how these things were violations. This was where Mike Church was huge on nullification. And this is really what helped me start looking and focusing on this concept, nullification. And it was because of that, it's actually helped me realize that Madison and Jefferson abhorred nullification as they're talking about it and practicing it. And I find it interesting how a bad interpretation and an ignoring of all the other documents, because when I read anything on this stuff, everybody's either misinterpreting or they're ignoring these other documents that Madison has provided. And so why is this so important? Well, I'll tell you why it's important. Because when you start reading these other documents, it starts jumping out that Madison didn't want to have anything to do with nullification. He believed interposition was the only way to go, that the states had to take action and force the federal government into compliance. This is why and how I would highly recommend you looking into these documents and then looking at Republic Review. But with that, I am going to be leaping into this break, so please stay tuned. We will be right back after these two promos.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADD-LOCAL or visit them on the web at www.addlocal.com.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so let me actually, this is another thing I want to rant about, because I'm going to actually include this, and we're going to go through the Bill of Rights for the 21st century. What is that? That's actually the campaign model for 2022. It's about time patriots and people who love liberty need to start asserting and demanding that we maintain the rights that we have and how they would translate to these newer technologies and so forth. Just because you buy a software application to do something doesn't give that software company the right to obtain or pull in, keep, or reserve very personal data, things that you were doing on your computer, things you're doing on your phone, monitoring you, and you pull, and what do they call that? Surveying, or basically piping in, you know, the information as you're doing it on your phone, so that they can start, you know, managing marketing and that type of stuff. If they're pulling out and watching what you're looking at, what you're doing and so forth, you have a right to know somebody is in your private space. You have a right of privacy in your person, in your house, and in your things. And if you consider your phone, you consider your computer your thing because nobody gave it to you. It's not like the company gave it to you. See, it's a lot different. If this is a company phone, the company then can monitor all of the things you're doing and use and leverage all this technology because they gave it to you. It's their property. And they can, you know, call for it back at any point in time. And so if it is yours, then you have the right of being able to opt out. You should be able to opt out and not allow Google to obtain and collect data on you. You hear that? Google and everybody else that is spying and sharing data, like Amazon sharing data with the CIA. Come on. You should be able to opt out if you're going to be doing shopping. The problem is that nobody knows how to do this. Your state legislatures can create a law that no citizen's data will be taken and used without their permission, and they have a right to opt out so that you can't take their data, you can't register it, record it, maintain it, keep it, or share it, period. And so let legislators start doing their job in protecting you, your property, and your rights, and your privacy. Anywho, that being said, one of the things that really, because I can see this, I don't know how many people have been really frustrated and got upset because there was an accident. And where I live, there we have mountain passes. And we have winter. And during the winter, those mountain passes are very treacherous. And so it really upsets me that they create all of these laws that help businesses. Like a good example, if you take your car to Discount Tire, America's Tire, or some, you know, Les Schwab's, any type of tire company, the tire lobbyists have got the government to create a law that says, hey, if a tire has 2/32 of tread, in other words, it's not bald, it still actually has good tread, and they say, we believe that that tire is at that point unsafe. Well, actually, a bald tire may be unsafe, but it doesn't matter. You should have the freedom to be able to choose whether you really need to spend money on a new tire. Why is government? This is becoming a government tax because how many tires? And so the tire industry is benefiting from you having to buy tires a little sooner, instead of being able to utilize, because I can tell you, your grandparents and your parents, as they were growing up, they used their tires to the fullest that they could, and there were bald spots. I drove vehicles myself where we had balding spots on the tire, and at that point, when I saw, okay, it's time to change the tires, well, that gave me an extra year, if not more, on a 2/32 tire range. And my point is that when you go and they say, oh, well, we can't touch these tires, I cannot mount these tires on your vehicle because they have, 2/32 or less of tread. And I'm going, you've got to be kidding me. Nope, you either have to buy tires from us, you mount those things yourself, or what have you. And I could mount them myself. But what kills me is the fact that we allow this to happen. Now, one of the things that they also have, and if you haven't heard, Congress has injected this concept that everybody needs to start paying by the mile. Well, how are they going to find out how many miles you're putting on your car? Well, if you go to if your tire solution is using the 80% providers, which 80% of the providers of tires is a specialty tire shop, whether that be Costco, whether that be Les Schwab's, whether that be Discount Tire or what have you. Possibly even the dealers would be another big part. But the small little garage where you go buy tires and have them do that. You know, they don't even do balancing and that type of stuff anymore. So it's real. That's why over 80% of where tires are procured and put on your vehicle is done at these specialty type of shops. And so what they're doing is, why is it that they have to know your mileage? Well, with the tire comes a warranty, you know, 40,000 miles, 50,000 miles. And you know, if your tire, you have to replace that tire before that mileage, well, then you get a little bit of a credit. Oh, okay. Well, that's not okay, especially if all of a sudden they're capturing the data, the mileage you've put on those tires, which means the mileage you have on your car. And that actually gets reported into the government, to where the government now sends you a bill of, well, your taxes for vehicle use is going to be this. How is it that they're going to find out? You don't even have to report anymore because you're using these specialty shops in doing that. You may actually have to go in and say, I want to waive my warranty. You're not going to find out, and I will not tell you what my mileage is. But do not, if they're already asking for, you know, for the banks to report $600 of banking, you know, investments, or $600 that go into your account or what have you, if they're doing that, and that, these are small transactions. In other words, the banks are going to get, I'll just say, it's going to be a burden to report all that. It's going to be the same thing with every vehicle out there that you drive. Because bottom line, if you have two vehicles and you drive them, you know, half the time here, half the time there, then they'll, if they only have the access to the one vehicle, then they will not be able to get the full pound of flesh out of you. But they will have, and they will make up regulations. And this goes back to what I was saying about these conservative entertainers. As they start creating these regulations to actually start taxing you and actually to start forcing you to do things, here, my friends, is where the danger lies and what the heck's going on. Here, my friends, is how we will actually see what the, when the federal government actually starts putting hooks into things. Well, that's only a manifestation of how they're violating the Constitution, because they have no jurisdiction. They have no power delegated to them to do these things. And it just gets my goat that these conservative entertainers aren't pointing this out and teaching their audience this. When I listen to these people, I go, no wonder people do not understand how all of this is a violation of the Constitution. They may arbitrarily say, well, can they do this? We don't, you know, we don't think they can. We think it's but they don't say with an absolute confidence like I do that these are unconstitutional acts. And so therefore, We have these issues that we have to face and we have to address. So what is it going to take? I mean, come on, folks. What is it going to take to get you involved? All you have to do is start getting organized. Once things get organized, you know, you start creating processes. Everybody knows what their jobs are. And you can become a lean, mean fighting machine. You know, we're not talking about, you know, very complicated processes. We're just talking about, okay, you're going to be the petition manager. You're going to be the events coordinator. You've got this job. You've got that. You're going to be a community watch reporter, or you're going to be setting up some, you know, security surveillance, or whatever it is you're going to be doing. I mean, it's just an additional little function that you're doing outside your regular job. I mean, you're probably already doing, many of you are probably doing something for your church. Your church asks you to do this or do that, maybe once a month or on a regular basis. Doesn't matter. Fact is, you're contributing to your community. It's time we all start contributing to our county and our government. Because when we start doing that, then we take a little stake. We take a little, I'll just say, ownership in government. This is what we have to do. So join me in trying to get all of these crappy laws and these crappy regulations that are basically taxing you by getting you to have to buy tires. You know, I'm okay If somebody gets on the road, goes up into the mountain pass because they have inadequate tires, they spin out, they have an accident, and they shut down traffic, that person should bear the cost of the financial impact of what they had caused. I believe that when we start carrying and applying the financial cost of your deed, all of a sudden, you know, something as simple as having an accident on the freeway can become a very costly process, because if the standards are that you cannot go up into the mountains without the appropriate tire. But here's the thing. I think government should actually back off and say, we're not doing checks anymore. We're not going to be, you know, a nanny state. We trust you to understand the law, that when we say you have to have appropriate traction tires to drive into the pass and you don't, and you have an accident, then you're bearing the whole cost of that financially. And so even though we probably won't get that full pound of flesh, we will get people off of the road, because if they can't pay, you know, then they should not be able to drive. They should not be able to own a car for so long. Then once you start creating such a punishment where people go, you know, I can't afford to do that. You can't afford to not do things, or you can't afford to go into the mountains because you don't have the proper equipment and you're not willing to risk your car, your livelihood, driving and everything else. But today there's no consequence. There's no consequence for a person to just go off and have an accident. Yeah, as long as he's got insurance, you know, the liability. And that can't be acceptable. That cannot be an acceptable attitude. If we are to be a society of liberty, we have to hold people accountable. And we have to hold people responsible and bear the burden of the cost of damage that they caused. This is not rocket science. This is actually the path to enlightenment, because as everybody understands, they bear the burden of responsibility and accountability for the things that they do. Then we move forward. Then we move forward. Okay? But right now, by taking away those responsibilities, by saying, it doesn't matter what you do to yourself, we're going to have you covered. And we're going to make sure you can, you know, get your drugs, your drinks, and everything else that you need. Instead, what we should be doing is maybe with some of that fines and costs that we put on people, that we start educating people the importance of being a good, conscientious citizen. You know, that not being a narc, but, you know, not taking risks so that you don't have to pay for things. I don't want to go down the path of a nanny state. A nanny state is the beginning of evil. What we need to do, because we have to be trusted, we have to start trusting people. And when they make a mistake, we have to hold them accountable. Now, it's okay to have mercy. You know, when the bowels are filled with mercy, then that's okay. To not do what needs to be done, and you're only enabling more bad behavior. That's it. You're only enabling more bad behavior. So a couple more final things to say. We have our comment line, 425-270-5416. And let me see here. We are, oh, well, how about that? We're going into break right now. So with that, we will be right back after these two promos. So please stay tuned, and we'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Okay, so we got a little more time here. We got half the show. So let's kind of cover what I was going to cover. And what I want to cover is kind of like an overview, because we've talked about the roles. Now let's talk about, you know, how to kind of get things started. And so one of the key things that I would recommend people start understanding is that when we look at our government, there are basically two principles, objects, there to serve two objects, to protect life and property. That's the fundamentals that Madison laid out during the ratification debates, and also he actually mentioned this in the Federalist Papers. Now, the other thing to think about is that in America, we're to have a Republican form of government, and we have a Republican definition, or we define Republicanism as more than just the people are the representatives. We extended representation to sovereigns, and we acknowledge that we, the people, do create and we do make government to serve us. And when we create government, we delegate to it very specific powers. Well, those powers that government has, they're sovereigns over that. We've relieved ourselves from being the people that had to collectively say, yeah, we're going to go to war. We gave that power to Congress. So, in other words, we don't have any say on whether they declare war or not. And so if you don't like it, and if more people dislike Congress declaring war this last time, then they would replace them or not vote them back in. That was the paradigm. Well, it's the same thing with those things that have been delegated to the state governments or delegated to the county governments, right? So they're sovereigns over very specific things. They should have full say and representation. This was the point. This is why we created, because a bicameral legislative bodies have existed before. They existed in Parliament. You had the House of Commons and the House of Lords. The House of Commons represented the people, and the House of Lords represented the aristocracy. And so They didn't recognize or didn't represent the lower governments of the counties and the people living in these smaller sub-elements of government. And in this model of the United States, we had states. So the states were considered the sovereignty that had input. Or actually, if you look at the compact itself, the states are the sovereigns over the Constitution because they are the parties to it, not the people. And I know this flies in the face of everything you hear, and it flies in what you believe is the core of what you believe in. We, the people, instilled this government. Sorry, it was the states. It was the states that actually created, you know, the Articles of Confederation. It was the states that created the Continental Congress. It was the states that created this general government for the serving of one of two things.
If it was a federation, then it would have been a national government and all power would have been vested in the national government. But we don't have a federation. We have a confederation. It's kind of a hybrid because we do have a federal government that, or a general government that has very specific and good powers to be able to do some very specific things. But that's it. All other powers are reserved to the states, just like a confederacy. So we're more of a confederacy than we are a federation. And when you hear federalism and federation, these people really do not understand their government, because that means that the states have very little power. They have very little sovereignty over anything, that they've delegated most everything to the federal government. And when you look at today, most people say, well, yeah, what isn't the federal government controlling and doing? Boy, the next thing is just going to get you really upset when they create the Department of Babysitting and they come into your home and start telling you that you have no right to teach religious dogma to your children. That's what Hillary Clinton said in her book. That's how they believe. When you start reading these things and you just shake your head, like when Madison heard John Marshall make some of these wild assertions, he just shook his head and goes, the guy doesn't understand the Constitution. That's okay. You know, what he's saying, it causes no harm. It has no impact. However, Madison did not see coming down the pike that the lawyers, judges, and everybody would work together to start utilizing these opinions and interpretations as actual law instead of using the ratification debates. Now, Madison clearly, when he was asked for his notes on the convention, on the Constitutional Convention, he was asked by John G. Jackson, and Madison replied back to him. He said, hey, look, it doesn't matter what we thought during the convention. The only thing that matters is what the states understood the Constitution to be at the time of ratification, which means how they defined it. So let me start going back into this thing, because we're talking about American republicanism, and understanding a bicameral legislative body is critical. Why we have them and why we recognize representation for government. The sub-element of government within the state is the counties. The sub-element of government at the national level is the states. They are to have representation, because that it is the American republicanism is based on sovereignty, not the people. That we, the people, do abjure and we do surrender our sovereignty over those powers we delegate. When we create government, we delegate powers. And unless it's a democracy, then the people have to be involved in every decision, if it's a pure democracy. So the other thing that we also have to understand in our American republicanism is the fact that we do not do anything outside of voting for our representation. So in other words, we're not to have a direct vote for the president. The Constitution forbids it. We're supposed to vote for electors. There's nowhere in the Constitution that allows us to vote for the actual president. No parties, no primaries, nothing. Go read it. It's not there. That's why we go through this every year for the Constitution. And so we're supposed to vote for a representative to make that choice for us. Well, why don't we do that same thing for our governors? Why don't we do that same thing for our sheriffs? Anybody, instead of having a direct election, we should actually vote for electors that would then actually make these choices for the president, the governor, your senate, or not your senator, your sheriff, and your coroner, and those other positions. You are entitled to vote for your commissioners or supervisors of your county because they're your representatives. You get to vote for three different representatives at the three levels of government: county, state, and federal, or national, general, whatever you want to call it. Now, the other thing I think you need to understand, and you need to really get this, is that at a high level, a constitution is not some complex document. It is simply a compact. There are four words that start with C that say the same thing as constitution, constitution being one of them, compact being another, contract being another, and covenant being another. And so though that's the probably the best way I can explain what a constitution is. It's a compact. That's it. It's not some beautiful, illustrious thing of words that make you feel good. It is a compact that actually, in this compact, creates the terms and definitions of creating a general government, delegating the powers to them, putting reservations upon the state's powers, so forth and so on. So that's what you see in that compact. That's what they're doing. The one thing that you need to understand about compacts is there's two types of compacts or constitutions or covenants. There are general covenants, or there are general powers, I should say, or general constitutions where the people are granted or grant to their government or to the sovereignty of government general powers. When you do that, you give government the discretion to choose what and how to do everything. However, what we have in America are enumerated constitutions. What that means is that now you have the ability to say you can do this and only this. You can do that and only that. In that way, they can't assume anything that is outside of those powers delegated. That was the beautiful design, or the geniusness, and obviously the origins of this is from the divine hand of providence, pure and simple. He inspired this document to ensure we were protected. Only he knew what we would need and how it needed to be put in there so that we would actually be protected in these days when we were to face, you know, this tyrannical government. And he gave us everything we needed to take it back. This is not a coincidence. So understanding the difference of the constitutions being general and enumerated is critical for you to get organized, because and what a republicanism is, so that you can start understanding and start teaching this to other people. This is not hard to teach. It starts making sense. And as you start looking at it, oh, wow, yeah, there it is. Bow, I see that. What you also have to understand is the two things that we have, the tools that we have in the Constitution to actually do something about what government is doing is our First Amendment right of petition, and secondly, common law grand juries. Now, I'm trying to get a distilled version of what it takes to create and what a common law grand jury will do, and the same thing for First Amendment petitions. With that, what I want to do is, when we come back, we're going to dive into getting organized and how to unite and do those things, because uniting is the key. We'll be right back after these two promos. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so I can't emphasize this enough. Unification, uniting, getting organized, and bringing everybody to the table. The bottom line is there are going to be people that are going to be demagogues. There are going to be people that are going to be dividing and conquering or being divisive. If they do not have the spirit of unification, if they're not saying we need to work together, if they're not on board with that, then they are a part of the problem, period. You got to look at them that way and say, the only way we're going to get out of this is by uniting. United we stand, divided we fall. And anybody that says, we're not uniting on that, I'm telling you, they're the problem. Because what we're talking about is uniting on the Constitution and demanding full compliance to the Constitution, period. That's what we're demanding. And if they're not okay with full compliance to the Constitution, that means that they don't want they don't care about compliance to the Constitution. I don't care how they want to spin it, but they can't be trusted. This is a group or individual that is evil. Because they are trying to ensure the division is maintained. I don't care how beloved these people are. I really don't. I don't care if you have any love for me or not. I want you to understand what is right. And that way, if I happen to say something or do something that's wrong, it doesn't hurt my feelings to know that you're doing something that's right. You have to do the right thing, folks. America, we have to do the right thing. We have to unite, and we have to unite on the Constitution. So again, there's different ways to unite, but there's fundamentally, I look at the five different areas or five different ways that we can unite. And so some of those things is obviously the geographical area, right? If you're in one county, you need to unite and bring that county together. You need to convince people of other counties to unite themselves as well, not to unite with you. You don't want to create a state out of your county, if you know what I mean. There's a purpose and a reason for a county, and a county is supposed to be the largest and the most intrusive government in our daily lives because they're the closest to us, and they're the ones that should be making the decisions on whether a stop sign goes right there or not. And should be able to have, you know, open, honest dialogue and debate the issues of the merit of putting a stop there, lights there, or why a roundabout? Why the amount of money for a roundabout? So there's the geography, which breaks down to county. It could break down to the legislative district. It could break down to the city or what have you. But see, if you understand what I just talked about, congressional district, that could be a multiple of counties. But if you understand the context of the geographical region, it has a lot to do with the area of an election. If it's a city councilman, mayor, what have you. If you live in the city, you have the ability to vote. You need to unite at the city level. You also need to unite at the state level. Or I should say, let's start with the county. So you got your city level that you would need to unite. Then you'd need to unite at the county level. And then you may need to unite at the legislative district level and the congressional district level and the state. But the most important is that grassroots or that county level. I understand city is the closest thing to you, but your city is different than the county because your city will be reliant upon the county for the militia. It should be reliant upon the county for municipal services and those types of things. That's what your county government should be providing you. I know cities kind of take those things on, especially when they become big cities. But in so doing, some of the shenanigans cities kind of pull is, you know, very costly. This is how they create all of these tax burdens that next thing you know, you're being taxed, you know, out of your city and out of your state because it just becomes too onerous. So you have a geographical area of responsibility. You need to organize geographically. You also need to be organized politically. Now, if you come to the conclusion that the Constitution is, you know, the focus, if you understand that it is the solution, then you need to politically define for you constitutional standards. Now, it doesn't mean you can't work and unify with people from the Republican Party, the Constitutional Party, the Independent American Party, and the Libertarian Party. You just have to start understanding that we have these differences, but we have to unite. And it's more important to unite on the things that are going to kill us than the things that are going to hurt us, scratch us, or maybe not even hurt us, get us dusty, right? We have to start protecting our absolute future and our livelihood, which is saving the U.S. Constitution. The next way to, you know, start uniting is with people in an economical sphere. So that people that, you know, start looking, because there, you may be dealing with somebody that's apolitical, but all of a sudden you find out that they have very good grasp of economics and that's all they care about. We can bring them in and unite on the Constitution, because the Constitution supports a free market. And if these people are free market idealists, then there you go. And it's the same thing with religion as well. This is my position on religion. I really don't care what religion or faith you are, unless you happen to be Mohammedan, because that's the only religion I know of that does not respect and does not support individual liberty and individual sovereignty, that you have to choose for yourself. They believe that you must convert, and if you don't convert, you will be subjugated or killed, period. That, to me, is not a civil society. That is a theocracy, and that is it's just the same thing as communism, where the state dictates everything you must do. That is communism in a theocratic space. The next and final level of getting organized are with grassroots, because you're going to start finding that there are people out there that actually support the Constitution, or they may support an edge or a fringe part of the Constitution, like immigration, vaccinations, or, you know, vax freedom, health freedom, those types of things. Those people that are out on the fringe, out on the edge, all you've got to do is prove to them that if we all work together, their problem and everybody else's problem goes away. How is that not a win? How is this not the way to go? Who in the organizations in your local area would be Second Amendment groups, right? Or some of these other, or I understand that we already kind of covered the party. The party is one thing, but grassroots community activists is a little bit different. They go on to an edge issue and they want to support. Let me see here. There are folks out there. I'll even say this, the convention state folks. There are people that are really held and bent on some of these concepts of a balanced budget amendment and so forth. In other words, they're already modeled on limited government, but they just don't understand that that does not solve any problems. Folks, when we come back, my next episode will have Will Christensen as our guest. And so I've talked a little bit about this. Will Christensen is going to start a dialogue with us. We're going to go probably 2 days. And then so next week we'll pick up with some more content and maybe more interviews. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing.